The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. It's the Champions of the People Injury Show. This is an injury show. We are injury attorneys, and we do this show to bring you and teach you the education that you need to fight these insurance companies once you're injured. You don't have a level playing field with them. They have a strategy or strategies to beat you. We try to teach you and educate you every week, week in, week out, to give you the information that's important for you to know and understand. This is the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. Our website is championsofthepeople.com for a reason. The reason is you. The reason is because maybe you've been injured. If you've been injured, you need to go to championsofthepeople.com. You can call us anytime for a free initial consultation at 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Let me ask you a question. Just to get the show started and kicked off right, let me ask you a question. Do insurance companies, if you're riding a motorcycle and you're injured riding a motorcycle, do insurance companies treat you differently, treat that accident differently than if you were driving your car or a truck? Do they treat it differently? And why, if they do? And you bet they do. So, Brad, we've talked about this for years. You know, insurance companies, they always, and we've said it before, try to find a way or ways to beat the injured victim's claims. But when you're dealing with motorcycles, it's a completely different ballgame.
It certainly is. When you're dealing with motorcycles, you have to understand that you have a different mindset going on that's going to happen with respect to how the motorcycle is operating and what people think about motorcycles, what people think about motorcyclists. A motorcycle is a great thing. It's great to ride them. They feel great when you're riding them. You don't have to wear a helmet in this state, so people quite often don't wear helmets. Even when they are wearing helmets, they feel an extra sense of freedom. Sometimes they feel a little carefree, and juries typically think that you're already assuming some kind of danger when you get on a motorcycle. So people think differently about motorcycles. Insurance companies know it, and when they know that a person has been hurt by a motorcycle or when riding a motorcycle, they are much more willing to take on that person as far as not giving them fair compensation, because they know they can take advantage of mindsets that people have.
They try to take advantage of it, and if you don't think they don't, then you're wrong. They have strategies against you, even if you're in your car. We covered them for a long, long time. We've given you tips on these shows here. You have to have a legal game plan on your motorcycle, just like you have to have a legal game plan if you're driving your car and you're injured, you're driving your truck and you're injured, if you're pedestrian hit, if you're on your bicycle hit by a vehicle, you have to have a legal game plan. And that involves multiple strategies that you have to know and implement. And you can get a free legal game plan if you call Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. We wrote a book. You can have it for free. It's titled Legal Game Plan. We put over 30 years of our experience into that book, and when you come to see us, we give you a legal game plan tailored to your case, your accident, your medical condition, your pre-existing conditions, how you were hurt, what your prognosis is in the future, and how you're going to attack this insurance company and these claims. Your claim, your life. It depends on your strategies and legal game plan. Today, as you know, we're talking about motorcycles. You know, there's about 3% of the traffic on the Colorado roads, statistics show, that are motorcycles, but that 3% makes up about 20% of the fatalities. And insurance companies know that, and they fight these claims. And Brad just hit the nail on the head when he says, you know, they count on the jurors, you might be a juror, they count on the jurors being biased internally in their mind against motorcyclists. They count on the fact that there's no protection like in a vehicle. They count on the fact that a motorcycle might be dangerously driving. We have taught you how they attack your injury claim in a car, like comparative negligence, like assumption of the risk. But they really go after these motorcycle rider cases, and they look for anything that you might have done wrong or any kind of misjudgment or any kind of equipment that you're wearing. So you need to know this, but we're going to teach you today how to fight these claims, make your injury claim when you're injured on a motorcycle. The bottom line is you must have a strategy. The bottom line is you must know these things, and your attorney must know these things. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about how they attack these, how these attack the insurance companies attack these motorcycle injury claims.
Well, the first thing you have to think about, and all of you stop and think while you're, well, don't stop what you're doing, and especially if you're driving, but all of you think about your feelings about motorcyclists. How many of you have seen somebody act irresponsible on a motorcycle? How many of you have gotten mad at a motorcyclist? How many of you have felt a motorcyclist has it coming, whatever happens to them, or they're doing things that are incorrect or improper? And they stick in your mind more than that car that did the same things, or that car that did things that made you think they were irresponsible. Because you don't like motorcycles, or because you have a feeling that motorcycles have a different, think they have a different rule of the road. You see motorcyclists weaving in and out of traffic, jumping from lane to lane, revving up their motor, it sounds like, with that loud noise that comes out of their tailpipes. And we'll get into it later, but that loud noise that comes out of their tailpipes is actually a good thing for us. And it's a good thing for those of the people who are on the road, both for motorcyclists, and it's a good thing for those who don't ride motorcycles and are on the road just operating their cars. Now, how many of you have seen where you're in a line and motorcyclists will go, or and you're stopped in traffic and the motorcyclists go in between the lanes and go up to the front of the line, or they cut in, or because they can move their bikes the way they want to in that situation? It makes you mad. It makes you upset. You get a mindset that these people are parts of groups or parts of a motorcycle clubs that you don't like. Motorcyclists themselves at times will be amazing people, because you had a motorcyclist who 5 days a week, Gary, they're lawyers, or they're conservative people. They're working in conservative desk jobs inside an office. And then at nights or on weekends or on their day off, they get on their motorcycle and they become more carefree. They become more risky. They do things because they forget the rules of the road too. And at times they forget how badly they can get hurt on a motorcycle.
Yeah, in years past, I think Brad and I've seen some of our former law partners, and that'd be years ago, adopt that same attitude. And very, very good attorneys, very conservative in what they do. But when they get on the motorcycle, something changes. You know, these are usually results in very devastating injuries, and that's very expensive for these insurance companies, and that's why they fight these cases. And that's why they also rely or tend to rely on the fact that people have a mindset, maybe, against motorcyclists, and that's how they go to trial. That's why they push these cases, because they think if they get them in front of a jury, you're a juror, but they think if they can get them in front of a jury, then they're going to have an implied, unstated bias in their favor, because there's an assumption they believe that people don't look favorably on motorcyclists. But you can win this war. You can win the whole thing. You have to get to an attorney that knows what they're doing, period. You have to have an attorney that gives you a legal game plan for your motorcycle incident and accident. Devastating injuries. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. And we'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. So, back to the motorcycle accidents. Usually devastating injuries, as we've said. Sometimes death, unfortunately. There are wrongful death cases that you can bring on these matters. We've done a show on wrongful death. We explained to you and taught you about that. We're not going to recover it today. But, Brad, let's talk about damages, because I think some people think, well, I was on a motorcycle, so my damages might be different, or there might be extra because I was on a motorcycle. And certainly, if the injuries count towards extra compensation and fair compensation for their injuries, but the legal theory of damages is the same as in a car.
Right, the legal theory is the same as in a car, and quite often it's going to be examined in that way. Are the injuries from a motorcycle crash normally greater than in a car crash? Well, that's almost an obvious, of course. But do you still have to prove damages the same way? Yes. And what do you mean by that? Well, you have to prove causation. You have to prove that the accident caused the damages. You have to prove what the nature and extent of the damages. You have to prove how long they're going to last and what kind of treatment they require. You have to prove what they're going to do to the person as far as their disability, their physical lifestyle, what they can do, what they can't do, how their lives are going to be changed. You still have the same requirement for proving damages. So when you get a motorcycle case, one of the important parts is people who know about motorcycle accidents, motorcycles, understanding the injuries you're going to get, which, you know, come on, you don't lay your bike down without getting some kind of road rash. You know that. Is that road rash going to be permanent? Is it something that's going to cause scarring? Is it going to cause some kind of permanent effect? But you also, when you get into a crash or you lay your bike down or you're doing something that's involved in a motorcycle accident and you're the motorcyclist, you're also going to be prone to having more severe injuries. Still have to be proved. You can't just look and say, well, there they are. And you're still going to have an examination of pre-existing injuries.
Right. You might be very, very injured. You might be killed, and your family might be trying to recover. But the insurance company is going to try to beat the claim, and we've taught you over the years how they do that. And you need to know that. But when you're riding a motorcycle, the insurance company understands you share the road with trucks. You share the road with 18-wheelers. You share the road with cars and vehicles and SUVs. And it's a dangerous situation. And so it might be very devastating injuries, but you have to win the first element. Remember what the first element is? Remember, we taught you before, you have to be able to prove liability. What does that mean? You have to prove the other person's at fault. You have to prove you're not at fault. And the burden of proof is a very sophisticated legal position and argument, but you have to prove these things. Because you might have $500,000 in medical bills, and you can't get paid anything unless you prove the other person is liable. So how do they attack this? How do you beat them on these claims? That's next up, Bell and Pollock. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Show. Champions of the People. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is your Legal Minute. We're talking about legal game plans today. What difference does it make? Listen, you've been injured in a car crash. It's not an ordinary day or event for you, but it is for the insurance company. You need a legal game plan as to how the accident happened. What was the mechanism of injury? How did you get hurt? What body parts are hurt? Maybe it's a cervical part of your neck. Maybe it's a lumbar part of your spine, the low back. You need a legal game plan for the accident. You need a legal game plan for your damages, injuries, and losses, and how to prove them to the insurance company for the at-fault party. If you don't, you're guessing. You wouldn't guess at a recipe. You wouldn't guess at a blueprint. You wouldn't guess at directions. You need a legal game plan. Bell and Pollock will give you one. ChampionsOfThePeople.com.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at ChampionsOfThePeople.com. Hi, it's Mandy for my friends at Bell and Pollock. I know these guys. They're real. They genuinely care about their clients. And I endorse them because they do business like my dad did. If you've been injured in an accident, call them 303-795-5900.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to the Champions of the People Injury Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you and we're glad to be here. Somebody has to give you the education and training and information you need to beat these insurance companies. Somebody has to be on your side. Somebody has to be an annoying advocate for you, the injured victim. It doesn't matter how you were injured. You need experienced personnel on your side. You can come to see us anytime for initial free consultation and a free legal game plan. Get any of our books, one of which is named Legal Game Plan. Come on. Get any of our books free on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download an e-book there free. If you want a hard copy, all you have to do is call our office, and we're glad to comply. Get ready to put your helmet on. Get ready to put your right equipment on. We're going for a motorcycle ride this morning, a legal motorcycle ride. You're injured in the motorcycle. And how do they beat you? And we just covered right before the break, you know, they try to attack liability. They don't care if your damages are $2 million or $10 million or $300,000 or $50,000. If they can win on liability, you get nothing, zero, nothing. And most motorcycle accidents are difficult to analyze. Many of them have to be reconstructed by engineers. But you and your attorney have to know that. You have to know how to hire an engineer and when to hire an engineer. So, Brad, let's break that down a little bit, because they're going to attack liability. You might be impaired the rest of your life. Me might be 22 years old and never going to work and only work part-time for the rest of your life. But if they can beat you on liability, they owe you nothing.
That's exactly right. The liability is the beginning part. And remember, they don't have to just prove you were liable or that you caused the accident. They just have to prove that you contributed to it, that you were comparatively negligent up to 50%. Because if they show that you're 50% responsible for that crash, they owe you nothing. That's what they're aiming for. They're not aiming for 100% anymore. It used to be that they aimed for 100%. Not anymore. They aim for 50%, and that's what they look for. Can we show that this person's 50%? Now, if they can show you're 25%, they're happy with that because they can take 25% off your recovery. If they can show you're 30% or 40%, they're going to take 30 or 40% off your recovery. But if they get to that 50% mark, they know that's 100%. And when they can get to that 100%, they're very happy. And how are they going to do that? They're going to talk about your basic knowledge and ability of riding a motorcycle, of operating a motorcycle, and what happened in the crash. Now, don't think for a minute they're not going to talk before about whether or not you're operating a motorcycle correctly. Motorcycles take special endorsements on the driver's license. And the special endorsement requires that you be able to drive your motorcycle appropriately and properly, that you've passed the necessary tests, and that you're skilled in operating that motorcycle enough to have gotten the endorsement. Why is that so important? Because insurance companies will first look to see if you had an endorsement on your motorcycle or to ride your motorcycle on the streets. And if you didn't, then they're going to start going to the books. They're going to start going to the rules of the road. They're going to start going to the Colorado Motorcycle Operators Handbook, and they're going to start finding out if you really know how to operate a motorcycle. Do you know what to do in riding at night? Do you know what to do in riding on uneven surfaces and obstacles? Do you know what to do when you're riding on dangerous surfaces or slippery surfaces? How much distance you should be behind somebody, how much distance you should try to create from the person behind you, what's the distance on side to side with different vehicles, what are the passing rules, when being passed and when you're passing, how do you handle parked cars? There's different things they're going to ask you because the rules can be different. And so it's really important that you pay attention to that, because can they equate that into causing your crash? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the one thing you want to do is you want to be able to show that you are a skilled, knowledgeable motorcycle rider.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, let's break this concept down into some numbers and give you a numerical example so that you can understand it a little bit better. Brad just said comparative negligence. That's the statute in Colorado. You compare the negligence of driver A, driver number one, with driver B or driver number two. And if there's multiple drivers, it becomes more complicated. But today we're talking about two people, one that caused the accident and you as a motorcycle rider. This would apply in your car as well. We're going to make up some numbers. Let's say your injuries and your case is worth $100,000. If the insurance company attacks it, and if they can blame you for 10% being responsible and negligent, comparatively negligent, are you with me? Then they can subtract 10% or $10,000 off the 100 grand. That gets them to 90 grand. Wow, they saved 10,000 bucks. So don't you think they have the motivation and incentive to attack you? Now let's take that same example, $100,000, and they proved you were 20% negligent. So how much are they going to subtract off the 100 grand? You tell me. $20,000, 20% of $100,000, that's how it works. 60-40, 70-30, that's how it works. But, as Brad said, if they can get to you where you're equal fault, 50-50, or you're more than 50% at fault, 51%, or 50% at fault, you don't get $50,000. What do you get?
You get zero.
Absolutely. You get absolutely nothing. So don't you see they understand that law? You don't understand that law, but now you do because we give you the information. You and your attorney must have a legal game plan to beat this. Motorcycle accidents are complicated. Brad just went over some of the factors. You know, nighttime riding, distances, braking, operational equipment, safety equipment. They go after this. So when you go see an attorney, you must know this, and your attorney must know this. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. 795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. And by the way, we have written a book on motorcycle accidents. It's right there at championsofthepeople.com. It's free. Download an e-copy free or call our law firm and we'll send you a hard copy. Let's talk a little bit more about these rules of the road, Brad, because that's how they try to blame the motorcycle rider. And if they can look for anything and they get you 10% negligent, 20% negligent, or 50% negligent where you don't get anything, they save the hundreds of thousands of dollars or the millions of dollars.
Right. Now, obviously, just because them just asking you the rules, if the rules don't necessarily apply to this particular incident, then certain of the rules, then they may not be asking those questions, or they may just want to know your general knowledge of riding a motorcycle. But when it comes down to whatever happened in the crash, they're going to want to know if you have some basic understanding of the rules of how to operate your motorcycle. And they're obviously and quite often going to try to work those into you being negligent, you being responsible. It's your fault, or you contributed to the fault, to the crash itself. Some of that's going to be some of the basic rules. And you motorcycle riders out there understand this as far as making yourself look large, putting yourself in a position where you're not in the drivers of the car, their blind spot, putting yourself in a position where you're not allowing people or inviting them to take up your lane, where they take the lane and actually move you over or take the side of the road. Different things. If you're going in and out of traffic, it's funny how people can move back and forth in lanes, and it may not be considered near as much swerving by witnesses as it is if a motorcycle does that, because now a motorcycle is doing it, and it looks like much quicker moves. It looks like the motorcycle is doing things that are dangerous, when actually at times that motorcycle may be more safe than what a car is doing. But the bottom line is, they're going to ask, do you know how to handle your motorcycle? The funny thing is, and people should think about this, is when you went to get your driver's license for operating your car, do you remember having to do an obstacle swerve? And when you went to get one for driving your car, do you remember having to do a quick stop? Now, when you go to get your motorcycle license, you're going to have to do those things. So, it's funny how with a car, you don't have to worry about some of those emergency things. In a motorcycle, before you get your license and your endorsement, they're going to want to make sure you can do those things.
Right. These insurance companies understand what the requirements are. They know how to attack these cases. You better know how to attack the cases, but you can win this war. It is a war. We've said it in our books. We've said it on the radio for years. This is a war. You're in a war. You can win the battle and the war. You can win the battles, plural, and the war. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to have a strategy, legal game plan. We wrote a book on legal game plan. We wrote a book on motorcycle accidents and injuries in Colorado law. We wrote a book on Colorado car insurance in Colorado. All those are free. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Download an e-copy of the book for free. A couple of examples for you. This comparative negligence situation. If you're 50% or more negligent, you recover nothing, zero. If you're 70% negligent, then they're going to take the, 30% negligent, they're going to take the 30% off of your award or factor it into your settlement. They know how to factor these into settlement. So you need to fight that battle and war as well. What's a good example of motorcycle comparative negligent? Let's say motorcycle is traveling at night down the street with no lights on. Wow. Okay? There's no street lights. Guess what? There's a delivery truck parked right in the middle of the street, negligently, illegally, with their lights not on. Want to get out and make a quick delivery, but turn the lights off. You run into the delivery van. You're the rider. You see how that works? Another one. Let's talk about assumption of the risk, which we'll break down after the break in a minute. But let's say you're a motorcycle rider and you decide to go off-road, and you're going to ride some ramps, or you're going to go off-roading, and then you injure yourself, or you're hit by another vehicle in the same ramp area. There's many, many vehicles trying the same stunt. Who's at fault? Did you assume a certain risk? And Brad, let's just basically talk about assumption of the risk here.
Well, assumption of the risk. There are a lot of people out there who believe that anytime you get on a motorcycle, you're assuming a risk, and you're assuming a greater risk of getting hurt. There are a lot of people who believe that. Now, can you ride a motorcycle safely? Yes. Should you be able to ride one safely on the roads? Yes. Should that be considered an assumption of the risk? No. But there are people out there who believe it. The minute you're getting on a motorcycle and riding it, you're assuming extra risk, extra danger. And we can talk about that when we come back from the break.
So when you're riding your motorcycle and they don't want to settle with you, You say, well, they ought to settle with me. I don't want to file a lawsuit. I don't want to go to trial. I want to be in front of a jury. They won't settle because of the concepts we're talking about right now. Our free book, Motorcycle Accidents and Injuries, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir crazy. And my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing. And they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then, I usually get Moe's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas, served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheeseburgers, or their salads, or
honey,
or their
rein it in. Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant, at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Here we go. Are you ready? We're talking about motorcycle accidents, injuries, and motorcycle law in Colorado. For you, for your benefit, for the benefit of your family. Some of these cases result in devastating injuries and death. Sometimes there's a wrongful death action. We did a show on wrongful death. You can go to our website and listen to any of our shows. You can listen to that show, championsofthepeople.com. Go to the podcast. All of our shows for the years are up there. You can listen to the wrongful death show. You can listen to this show once it's posted on the website. Okay, you know, have you ever heard this? Four wheels move the body, two wheels move the soul. If you love motorcycles, you might be identifying with that. But when you're injured, you have to have a specific game plan. I always go back to my military background. If you're going to get attacked by the enemy, right, you just guess at what the enemy's going to do? You guess at their resources? Do you guess at their strategy? No. You have intelligence, and you have gathering intelligence, and you have a strategy of your own, If you can defeat their attack, you can win, right? Same thing with this. Same thing with the insurance companies. You must win the war. You must win the battle. You know, statistics are devastating in this area. I mean, you can get statistics from different sources, but one I'm looking at right now is 39% of motorcyclists killed were not wearing a helmet. They know that. 29% of motorcycles killed had a blood alcohol concentration of over 0.08% illegal. They know that. You think they're just going to ignore it? You think they're going to forget about it? You think they're not going to do anything about it? Wrong. We got to talk about the rules of the road. If you don't understand the attack coming against you, if you don't understand the rules of the road, then you're going to lose. And if your attorney doesn't understand them about motorcycle riding. You know, have you ever looked in the motorcycle riding book in Colorado? It says this is a supplement to the vehicle book. The vehicle rules and regulations. There's all kinds of rules, and we're going to talk about them right now, but that's how they attack your case. That's how they prove your comparative negligence. That's how they try to put you over 50% negligent. You know, preparing to ride. Do you have the right gear? Can you see and be seen? Keeping your distance. And Brad talked about some of these before, lane position. And so, Brad, let's talk about some of these rules of the road, because that's how insurance companies go after you. And were you drunk? Were you impaired? Were you wearing a helmet? Were you wearing any safety equipment? And what was your speed? And how do we reconstruct this accident?
Okay, when you're going to get the lawyer, when you're injured as a motorcycle rider, and you're going to get the lawyer, you have to understand, or you have to identify with the lawyer. You have to know if the lawyer understands what's going on, and if the lawyer takes into consideration the things that our jury's going to take into consideration. I can tell you right now from personal experience of watching juries, okay, it's a simple experience. If you watch how a jury reacts when they find out the person wasn't wearing a helmet, it's not by law. You know, the law doesn't require you to have a helmet in Colorado. We understand that, unless I believe if you're under 18, you have to have a helmet on, but you have to have safety glasses on. Everybody understand that. You have to have safety glasses on. And believe me, if your injuries occur and it's something that safety glasses would have avoided, you're probably going to have a terrible time recovering because you didn't wear the proper safety glasses. But just the helmet alone. You can talk until you're blue in the face that you didn't have a helmet on or you did have a helmet on. But let me tell you, that's something jurors want to know. And when you see how many of them roll their eyes when it's being told to them that your motorcyclist didn't have a helmet on, you realize the huge problem you have in trying to take the 14 people on the jury and reduce it down to 6 who are not going to have some kind of bias or prejudice built in immediately because you didn't wear your helmet. Now, if it doesn't have to do with a head injury, then you're probably going to be a lot further down the road, but they still start with an idea that you're not the safest person on the road. You've got some problems.
If they attack liability, then you're going to lose. If you lose liability, you're going to lose the whole case. And you say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't at fault. Those insurance companies are going to attack you. How you were doing it. The rules of the road, that's what we call them. And you need experienced attorneys. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900-795-5900. Why does Brad keep talking about jury trials and jurors? And why do I keep talking about jurors and jury trials? Because in the mind of the insurance company, when they're evaluating your motorcycle injury claim, they know that if they don't pay you any money or offer you fair compensation, you're going to have to file a lawsuit and go to a jury trial. So then they're going to evaluate in their mind how this case is going to play out in front of a jury. And that's why we're talking about jurors and jury trials and the impact motorcycles have on the whole system. But they're going to attack liability because they don't have to pay a dollar if they beat you. Keeping your distance. You know, distance in front, distance behind, dangerous surfaces. And Brad covered it before, slippery surfaces or uneven surfaces.
Well, oil on the street.
Rain,
you know,
snow.
When you get on your motorcycle, assumption of the risk, did you start to ride your motorcycle knowing there would be water, knowing there'd be rain, knowing there's going to be some kind of water on the surface of the road, recognizing that water itself can make it somewhat slick, but motorcycles can get through wet roads. But now you have the extra thing of understanding that cars leave debris, cars leave oil, they leave slippery surfaces on the road. Are you riding someplace where there's still gravel on the road? Are you riding in the fall when you have leaves from the trees that have hit the road and now they become slippery when they get wet? Are you riding on the road and not taking into account the ability to deal with those circumstances? Because if they contribute to the crash and you don't know how to control your bike through those things, you're going to have trouble. You know, Gary, you brought up a big one when you talked about stopping and how fast can you stop. You know, motorcycles traditionally it's believed can stop faster than cars, but you know, that doesn't stop the person. And you have to remember that when you're riding a motorcycle. You know, in a car, when you slam on your brakes, you have a better chance with the way cars are built nowadays to be able to maintain control over your car. And if you slam on your brakes without a seatbelt, you notice how the car stops faster than you do because you will go into the windshield. And that's what seatbelts do. Well, on a motorcycle, you may be able to stop your motorcycle very quickly, but you can't stop you. You don't have a seatbelt keeping you on the motorcycle. A lot of times you don't want to stay on the motorcycle. I understand that. You'd rather be off the bike according to where it's going. But you have to understand that you can't stop as fast. Your person cannot stop as fast on a motorcycle as you can in a car because you don't have that seatbelt stopping the inertia and stopping you from going forward.
Right. It's a matter of physics, and I never was good at physics, but I understand this really, really well. Inertia, you know, delta V forces. You have to have the accident reconstructed. The motorcycle ended up 100 feet from point A. Where's the point of impact? What was the speed of the vehicles? Who was turning? Who was going straight? What was the condition of the road? Did the motorcycle rider have on the proper equipment? All these attacks go against liability to beat down the percentage they have to pay you, to blame you for part of, or all of the crash, and then they don't have to pay you. And let me ask you something. If an insurance company saves $5,000 on your case or $10,000 and they have 12,000 cases in a year, How much did they save? You can do the math on that. It's pretty early in the morning, but you can do the math on that. If they save $10,000 at 12,000 cases, how much money do they save? So it behooves them to attack you, but you can win this war. You can do this. Get our free book at our website, championsofthepeople.com. We understand this is a war. We understand it changes people's lives. We understand the rules of the road. We can help you with your motorcycle injury claim. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. You can take a simple subject like collision avoidance. You know, there's rules of the road on collision avoidance. Quick stop, swerving, turning quickly, riding in a curve, right? Cornering. Those go into accident reconstruction. Those go into forces. Those go into delta V forces. Those go into computations to prove who was at fault.
And when you're dealing with a crash and you're dealing with protecting your motorcyclist, these are things that a lawyer needs to talk to their client about because when it comes time for the deposition, don't be surprised if you don't have a defense lawyer asking if you employed any collision avoidance techniques. And you don't want to be looking at them with a blank stare to going, I don't even remember what a collision avoidance is. It's been such a long time since I got involved in this. Now, for the most part, I believe motorcyclists have a great deal of knowledge about these different types of topics. But, you know, go back to just some basics with regard to what's going on in the motorcycle. Are you riding and do you have a motorcycle that you can handle? Motorcycles can be big and small. They can have a great amount of inertia and speed. And they can have a little bit. They can be bikes that are pretty easy to handle versus ones that are difficult to handle. Are you on a bike that you can handle? Are you operating it in a way you can handle it? Do you have a passenger? Is this the first time you've had a passenger? And what kind of passenger do you have? And could you handle the extra weight and the extra load that's created when a passenger's on the back of your bike? And does that passenger have experience riding on a motorcycle? Because is the passenger going to lean with you? Is the passenger going to be appropriate in the way they're riding? Or is it going to be different? And all these are factors that can be used to try to defeat your claim, to address liability, and to address the comparative negligence. And that's why you need to get a lawyer who understands these concepts and talks to you about them and doesn't look and say, well, this is a simple accident where you got hurt and you were on a motorcycle and we ought to get a lot of money.
Yeah, if you take that attitude, you're going to lose. Or you're going to lose your compensation, part or all. Did you hear that? You're going to lose. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. We're going to help you. We've been over this many, many times. So back to the basics, right? Back to the military basics, right? You have to understand the attack coming at you and all facets of the attack. And once you do, and once you engage, and once your attorneys engage and know, you can win. And you can win fair compensation. Bell and Pollock. That's our law firm. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is Your Legal Minute. You're injured. It's a car crash. You've been rear-ended. Now you're going to talk to the insurance adjuster. Surely they're going to help you. Wrong. Surely they're going to be on your side. Wrong. Do you know what to say and do in the very first phone call with the insurance adjuster? If they said, we're going to send you a few forms to fill out, would you do it? We're going to send you some releases and a questionnaire. Should you do it? No. Should you sign the releases? No. You need to listen to our show. Go to our website. Listen, championsofthepeople.com. There's a button there that you can hit, and it's called What You Need to Know Before the Very First Phone Call with the Insurance Adjuster. You can come in, have a free initial consultation with us, and we'll help you there. And we'll give you a free legal game plan. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com, will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is Your Legal Minute. We're talking about drunk drivers. They hit you. They injure you. They want to leave the scene. You're not going to let them leave the scene. Don't get into a physical fight or altercation. Do everything you can to keep them at the scene. The fact that they're drunk, they're going to be arrested. They're going to be tested. They're probably going to lose their license. But this is information that subjects them to punitive damages. The insurance company who insures this drunk driver does not want to hear about them being drunk. This enhances your injury claim legitimately, truthfully. Use it to your advantage, but you have to know how to do it. You need a game plan to do it. Bell and Pollock, we have a legal game plan for you with regard to drunk drivers. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com, will help you.
Bell and Pollock, find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Here we go. Put your helmet on. We're going to go ride our motorcycle. We're taking a legal motorcycle ride today. Colorado Law, if you want to know what our book says, you can get a free book at championsofthepeople.com. Any of our six books are free. If you want a hard copy, call our law firm. It's that easy. How do you win these cases? What do? You don't guess. You don't hope. You don't hope the insurance company is going to be fair. Remember the myth we covered many, many times? Sure, I was riding a motorcycle and I've been injured. Surely some insurance company is going to pay me. No. Surely they're going to take care of me. It wasn't my fault. They're going to try to blame you. And if they can blame you in a high enough percentage, you're going to lose. But you can win. You know, in our book on motorcycles, we've got 10 ways you can wreck your own motorcycle case. 10 ways. I mean, the crash has already happened. But after it's happened, you need to know what to do. And you can get a copy of our book and get the 10 ways, the 10 myths in this business.
Well, let's talk about number one, Gary, because number one is a very important one. And usually we'll start our show with this because it's basic, and it's the basic upon which your entire case rests, and that's having appropriate insurance and having enough insurance. For those of you who are driving your cars around and you've gone and gotten your motorcycle endorsement, or you've had it and you think that car insurance covers you and your owner motorcycle, you might want to think twice. Now, obviously, if I'm representing you and you've been on a motorcycle and you were hurt on a motorcycle, I want the other side, the other party, to pay. But also, I realize that we have many, many drivers on the road who have no insurance. We have many more who only have $25,000 of insurance. And this becomes a heightened concern for everybody out there when you recognize, please recognize, that when you're on a motorcycle and you're involved in just about any kind of crash, you can go 5, 10, 12 miles an hour into a car and you have certain injuries. You go 5, 10, 12 miles an hour, a car hits you at 5 or 10 or 12 miles an hour while you're on a motorcycle, your injuries are going to be devastating. And they are not going to be for less than $25,000. So the minimum amounts are not going to work. You've got to go make sure your insurance covers your motorcycle. Normally, it will not. Now you've got to get special insurance. Now your insurance agent should be able to write it for you. Your insurance agent should be able to get you an endorsement right away that includes your motorcycle and any other motorcycle you might be on, and it should be able to cover you. But once you get it, make sure that underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage is as much as you can possibly afford. And if it takes buying a lesser motorcycle to be able to buy appropriate insurance, you've got to do it. You shouldn't even be on a motorcycle without considering, and if at all able to pay for it, getting yourself $250,000 to $500,000 to $1 million worth of UIM insurance.
UIM, underinsured motorist coverage. So you're riding your motorcycle, you're hit, you're injured. The other person says, I'm sorry, I didn't have any insurance. What are you going to do? I mean, we preach this with regard to cars, trucks, bicycles, right? Motorcycles. Do not assume that your ordinary policy covers you on a motorcycle. That's one of the big problems. That's one of the ways you can wreck your own case. Don't assume that. You need to get specific coverage for UIM, underinsured motorist coverage, or UM, uninsured motorist coverage. What if the other driver says, here's my insurance card to the police because you're off to in the ambulance in the emergency room, and the police says, okay, I had insurance, but you call up the insurance company and they say that policy was canceled, or it expired 2 months ago or a week ago. I remember one case that expired the day before the crash. What are you going to do? You're going to, right now, before you straddle a motorcycle, you're going to get your UIM limits increased. Let's talk about MedPay, Brad, because MedPay is available for motorcycle injuries. Usually you're off to the emergency room. Usually medical bills are very extensive and high, so what can you do there?
Right. It's not automatic, by the way, and for motorcycles. It's not automatic for motorcycles. And understand that when you do get it, they start at $5,000. And that's not very much MedPay. That's not going to get you very far. You have to have more. You have to have a great deal more. And the MedPay is the best health insurance you can get, because MedPay will step in and pay without regard to fault. It's going to pay for the injuries you encountered. And I've said it before, driving your car is one of the most dangerous things you do on the road. Well, let me tell you something. Motorcycle, driving a motorcycle, just it exceeds driving the car by 100%. Understand, your umbrella policy may not cover it either. You may have to get a special endorsement on that. Your MedPay, you need to get as much MedPay as you can, so you know that when you're being taken to the hospital, you're going to have some way to start paying for those bills immediately. Settlements and resolutions of a case by a negligent driver can take a year or 2 years or 3 years. You can't wait for that long to get your medical care and to get your bills paid. That's not something you want to do. Think about when somebody gets hurt on a motorcycle. Most of the time, they're being hauled off on an ambulance. What are the chances that they get to have the same explanation and have the ear of the police officer or the people who are determining how the crash happened versus the person who was in the car and isn't hurt and is able to stand there and talk to the police officer? You're laying on the ground with a broken leg or with a mangled ankle or with a terrible head injury or an arm messed up and waiting to get into an ambulance. And they're over there talking to the person who hit you, and the story they may be getting, the police officers may be entirely wrong. Why is that important? Because that's what we're going to start as the attorneys for you with. We're going to start with that story. And we have to start working on it. Now, in the meantime, you're trying to recover from injuries. What are you going to use to pay for the recovery? How are you going to have doctors take care of you? What are you going to be able to do to get the doctors to take care of you? First place is MedPay. MedPay is very important, and you need to get it in high amounts.
Right, you do. But if you don't have enough MedPay to pay your medical bills, then health insurance will cover it. If you don't have health insurance, we've done a show on that. We can help you get medical care. You say, how you can do that? How can you do that? I don't have any health insurance. How can you do that? I don't have any MedPay, or I have very limited MedPay, or I waived it because it's my motorcycle. Which you don't want to do that. But how can we help you? It's very long and complicated, but you can come see us and we can help you. 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. Our books on motorcycle injuries and motorcycle law in Colorado is there. Our book on the definitive guideline of car insurance in Colorado is there, right? So you're not going to get on your motorcycle. You're not going to do this until you increase your UIM limits as high as you can afford. As high as you can afford, right? You know, one of the big myths in this business is, you know, certainly my car insurance will cover me on a motorcycle. Not necessarily true. Another big myth, is police speed radars can't detect motorcycles. That's a big one. And another one, it's more dangerous for motorcyclists to drive on the highway. Not true. That's a myth. Yeah, that's how it's in our book, how you can wreck your own case. And so you have to understand the rules of the road. So, Brad, let's kind of bring everybody where we are. You got to prove liability. You got to prove damages. You can listen to our show on damages. We've done that. Damages are in the same legal theory, but different ways to prove it. And you got to prove causation.
Well, and that last statement can be a little confusing. When you're talking about it's a myth that it's more dangerous for motorcycles to ride on the highway. We're not comparing that to cars. We're talking about a motorcycle being on a highway versus a car versus a motorcycle being on side streets or being on the normal streets. Riding a motorcycle is more dangerous than being in a car. That's clear. You take on more danger because the injury can be easier, easier incurred, and because people don't tend to see motorcycles and all the other stuff we've talked about and all the other stuff that motorcyclists know about. But it's not more dangerous or safer to be on the highway versus a side street. You can get hurt on a side street. People cannot see you on a side street. People cannot see you as you're sitting at a stoplight and they run into you because they didn't see you at the stoplight. So you've got to make sure that you understand that everywhere you go as a motorcyclist, you're taking on additional risk. Now, that's not something that a defense attorney should be able to use against you, because you have a right to ride a motorcycle. They're appropriate. They're street legal. It's allowed in our laws.
Right, and it's a wonderful thing to do. But when you're injured, you have to be prepared in advance. Like we're talking about insurance right now, we don't sell insurance here. We just give you the best information for you, your family, right? You need UIM and UM insurance, and we preached that for years. But don't assume it's just automatically covered on your car policy. Don't assume that. So when these attacks come, and they're going to come against you as an injured motorcycle rider, you have to have a game plan to defeat them. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about, we're coming up to the end of the show, but people can call us at 303-795-5900. But insurance companies, once again, everyone, they're going to attack liability. What does that mean? They're going to blame you for either being partially at fault or wholly at fault. And what's that going to do to the case?
That's going to diminish your case. It could destroy your case. You could end up with nothing. But for sure, if they're successful in showing that you contributed to the crash, that you did something wrong, that you didn't know how to operate that motorcycle, that you didn't follow the rules of the road, that you were a reason for causing your own injury, that you didn't have the experience, that you shouldn't have been where you were, if they can show any of that, they're going to mitigate the amount that you can recover, and you're not going to get full compensation.
Right, and we covered it with a comparative negligence. If they prove you're 20% at fault, and we gave you the $100,000 example, they're going to be able to subtract $20,000 off the $100,000. If they prove you're 40% at fault, they're going to subtract 40% or $40,000 off the $100,000. And if they can prove you're 50% or more, you're going to get nothing. Zero. Nothing. You can't just hope. You can't just guess. Welcome to our family. Welcome to our law firm, Bell and Pollock. You can come see us anytime. It's free to talk to us, free to get a legal game plan. 303-795-5900. 5900, and our website, championsofthepeople.com. Why do we do all this? Why do we spend the time doing this? So that you're educated and trained and taught. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We'll see you next week.